with Chris Long. If the Lord willing, we're going to continue our July the 4th meetings from now on until the Lord tarries. Until the Lord comes, we're going to have our July 4th anniversary meeting. Remember last year it was our 50th, and Brother Chris is going to come and preach that for us. So there'll be a lot more. That's in July. That's, you know, only about 2 hours from now. So the way time flies, it won't be long. So just remember that. Also, Brother Bob will be speaking this Wednesday evening. I got my brain in three different places. Sorry. Brother Bob will be preaching Wednesday night. Brother Hyatt was supposed to be here today. He'll be here next weekend. They had some scheduling issues with the kids, and a couple of them were sick. So just remember that. Also remember March the 19th coming up next month. We'll have our youth service on Saturday. Brother Matt Watkins will be doing that for us and staying for the Sunday service on the weekend. Also remember April 15th, 16th, and 17th. We'll have our fellowship meeting, which will be our Easter weekend meeting. 15, 16, and 17. I know that's during the Louisiana camp, but if you can't go if you're over 30, so most of you need to probably be here that are over 30. But just remember that. I don't have anybody from Friday night yet, but Brother Homer Longoria is going to preach Saturday at 3 o'clock, and we'll have a fellowship meeting just like we have before, and we'll be fixing food. So we'll be letting you know a little bit on that. And then on the 17th, the Sunday morning service, Brother Mike Oltig will be speaking for us on Easter Sunday. So just keep that in your prayer. I know Sister Esther and the Durrett's, Frida, Paul, I'm trying to remember all the people that are sick. We need to pray for them. And Charlotte, she had surgery, had knee surgery, and so did Sister Monica, had hip surgery. So just remember them in your prayer. And I know you've heard it Wednesday night, but I got a good report. I don't have cancer, so that's good for me. Amen. Just keep praying, though, that we move on forward. The devil's a liar. He always has been. He always will be. Amen. Also, remember next Saturday, Brother Anderson has put it on, those of you that's on WhatsApp, we're going to be installing electronics here, so we need some help. They've already got a crew to put all this stuff together to get it to working. Should be working for, not April the 19th, February the 19th, that's next Sunday, next Saturday. All right, they're going to pull wires and install electronics, so just remember them in your prayers that everything will go well and that they will get everything hooked up and not have an oops moment. In computers, an oops moment means different than just you saying, oops, I forgot to. Yeah, no, it's pretty bad. So we're doing this because I want you to be able to see the screens. I want you to be able to sing songs. I know a lot of you don't even open a songbook, and I don't either because I know 99% of the verses in the songs anyway. So, but some of you don't because you don't sing. I've noticed it. So we're going to put it up here so you don't have to fumble through the songbook, and it should be big enough fonts that you can read it and sing along with us because that is part of worship. Then we'll have the quotes up there and all the different things for you to see. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Let's turn to the book of John and continue our thought on who is this Son of Man. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we stand here today, Lord, knowing that we stand one breath between life and death. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, during the service, Lord, if anyone doesn't know you as their Savior, we pray that you would knock on their heart's door and they'll open their heart to you, Lord. Even us older ones that are in the way, Lord, been in the way is what our problem is. But we've been in this way a long time, Lord. I pray that you'll do as Brother Bob was talking about. We still got to grow through three stages of grace all the way up to the rapture. And it's a continual opening of the word, Father. And we pray that you'd be with us today. Open the word to us, Lord. You do the speaking. Be with the ones that are sick and not with us today, the ones that are traveling. Bless the ones on the highways, Lord. Be with mom and dad, Lord. Keep them strong and healthy. We ask you to bless us, Lord. You're bright all around the world. There's many needs for different people. Lord, I pray that you touch them, Lord, right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray. Amen. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now let's go down to 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's read Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, God had to build a natural body before he could build a spiritual body. Because that natural body is our propitiation, it's our justification, it's our sanctification, it's our way to get to the Holy Ghost. There was no way to get to the Holy Ghost until this man came, called Jesus, which was God in human flesh. He came and gave his body a sacrifice so that you and I could live. But a body hast thou prepared me. All right, you may be seated. Let me read Ephesians 5. For the husbandman is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. We'll get into that just a little bit. I want everybody to understand the reason I'm harping on this so much is to realize what our part of this is. Our part is not, now listen to me, is not body parts. There is body parts in the body. But our mandate is to bring the head back here. The intelligence of God, the Word of God, bring it back here on earth to complete the body. But now we are the body of Christ, but listen, the head's not part of the body. The head's the most integral part of the body. That's where everything comes from. All your intelligence, telling my hands to move. Can you remember how many, you just realize how many things you're thinking about right now. And body functions is happening right now that you don't have nothing to do with. It just automatically happens. Where does it come from? It doesn't come from your heart. Your heart is connected to your brain and your brain's telling it pump, 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 pump. And that's the same way with God is. When they cut the head off or rejected the head, after he was crucified, when they rejected the head and took their own headship, what did it do? It took the head away and the body just acted, as we'll read here in just a little while, there were false teachers came in that they thought was the head of the church. They thought this one was the head and they thought that one was the head. But until the prophet of God told us who the head was, he said, the head's Christ. And Christ is the one we got to get back here. That same ministry like he preached 2,000 years ago. Nobody had ever spoke like this man spoke. Remember, that's what they said about Jesus, but that's what they also said about Brother Branham. Nobody spoke words like this man spoke. Confused a lot of people, but, you know, we'll see in just a minute, babies are confused. I don't care how intelligent they're going to be. Babies are confused at first. They cry because what? They don't tell you why they're crying because their head hurts or their knee hurts or their back hurts. They just cry. You got to figure out what's wrong with it. But when you get up to maturity, when you're able to speak, you say, hey, my head hurts. Hey, my back hurts. Well, that's the same way with God. We got to be raised to a place, and I'm going to read this right here and then read something that Brother Russ sent me. This is the Brother Russ Dunker quote. He'll be here next weekend, actually, also. So just pray for him from Minnesota. But let's read this Ephesians. For the husband is the head of his wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now what is preeminence? The forefront. We think of him first, before we do anything. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. How many do we do that? Or how many times do we just make quick decisions and then see how they are destroyed? But listen to what Brother Russ said. It's really neat. Pull it up there and we'll read it. He sent me a email. He was reading 2 Peter 3 verse 18. But grow in the grace, watch, this is, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Word. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Now that's 2 Peter 3:18. It's the last command of the chapter to grow. To grow is to move, to keep seeking. Amen. Keep seeking. Right. To enlarge. Amen. Amen. If you can hear this, most have sought and quit growing, thinking they have what they need. That's what the Lord spoke to Brother Russ. If you can hear this, most have sought and quit growing, thinking they have what they need. And I'll read what that Brother Brown said about Pentecost. That's Pentecost's problem. They thought when speaking in tongues and all the gifts came, they had it all. No, they were just babies. Right. So this is his suggestion. He's what he's telling me. What are we growing in? Fun, work, family, money, school, friends, sports, entertainment, and vacationing. Are we growing up into the head himself? In other words, are we growing families? What is that? Carnality. sure, there's things that go on that we need to do, as Brother John Durrett was talking to us about money and different things. But it doesn't matter how much money you save if you don't have God in your life. It's worthless. Amen? And listen, life does go better with money. I'm sorry. You're lying if you say, no, brother, I don't want a penny to my name. No, forget it. We're humans. Amen? We're human beings. But this is a point, and it struck me, and when he sent it to me, and I thought, wow, you know, that's right. Are we growing up in the head himself, or are we growing in all these other things? We having more fun? We working more? Our family's taking up most of our time? Come on, people. I mean, to me, all this right here is an outward show. Just as the Holy Ghost is an outward show of an inward work, this is an outward show of what's inside of you. Sports, entertainment, vacationing, all these different things. But that's the question. And I thank you, Brother Russ. God bless you. I know you're watching in. But thank you for sending that. But we're going to talk about headship now. And we'll see that there's been a substitute. Let's go to where it says number one. All right, you ready? The Laodicean church age. Where is that right now? He is God's creation. Oh my, I see the first and the last. Amen. The beginning of the creation of God. When God created himself a body, he came down and lived in it. That's the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Now we know that. We were talking about this the other day. That's true in that he brought his literal body here and it began to grow and it was what? Became the head. All right. Is everybody okay with that? But now watch, God's creating himself a body in the Laodicean church age. He's created the body down through seven church ages. But there's a time, we'll read it in just a little while, right here, number two. Why do we need another creation if the first creation was right? We need another creation. As we were saying, creating me a clean heart. Let's go down here. This is another creation that has to do with the church. So he's building his church, but church, there's a time when church is not just going to do it. Church is what's killing us to start with. Headship is what we need to come to. Preeminence. This is a special designation of himself. Listen, I don't ever want us to be exclusionary, if that's a word, or exclusive. If you got the new birth, and if you're in this message of the hour, and you're growing in grace and knowledge up to that statue of perfect man, don't worry. You will be different than the world. That you will be different. Don't worry. Don't hold a sign up that says, I'm a Brownamite. I believe this message. No banner's gonna save you. But when that banner comes into your heart, that's what'll save you. And you know what? It's automatic. Don't go out there and ask the cow, give milk. No, just feed it. It'll give milk because it is a cow. What about me and you? Like what Brother Russ was talking about that list. What are we doing with this thing that we got? What are we doing with it? Are we playing with it? Are we becoming it? But this is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. Now listen, if he created everything perfect in the beginning, physical, he's definitely going to be able to create something spiritual that's perfect. Amen? He's the creator of that church. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. This new creation is not the old creation made over. Now let's go back to marriage and divorce like we were talking about the other day. New has nothing to do with old. Your old husband must be dead for you to remarry. All right? That's the Bible. I know we have grace, but listen, I'm just reading what it says. Same way, but with Christ, it's definitely, you can't be divorced from your old husband in Christ and be married to Christ and that man at the same time. You become an adulterer. And that's what's happened in the ages. They've not taken a furtherment of the word. They've not taken it all the way to the head. They took certain parts of it. And God said, okay, I'll wink on that. But when the fullness of time has come, that's now. The fullness of time is now. We can't just say, well, justification is good. Well, justification is a start. But sanctification is a start. But Paul says, I die daily. That's a daily sanctification. A daily what? Washing by what? The water of the Word. Not by washing by a new job or washing by new money, or please don't wash your money. They call that laundering. It's another creation distinct from the old one. Now look, he's pulling it apart like I was going to say, like I'm going to preach on in another sermon, not tonight or this afternoon, where Brother Brown says your adoption is not your new birth. He pulls them apart. Or your new birth is not your adoption. You can't be adopted without the new birth, but you can have the new birth without being adopted. But we got to pull it apart, and Brother Bob's pulled some of it apart with some of that chart. You got to pull it apart and say, all right, what is the birth? And what is this adoption thing? Because if you have the new birth, you only receive the spirit of adoption, and I don't say only frivolously. You don't say only when God, but you got to get started somewhere before you can talk about this adoption stage. Because you got to be actually in the family before there's any consideration of adoption. Amen. Your name's got to be in the will. And what is his will? His will is his word. Today we're reading the will where somebody died 2,000 years ago. Somebody's got to die to give you that will. And then you can either accept it or reject it. You say, oh my, I got it. Well, how much of it do you got? No longer is he dealing by the ways of the flesh. That was how he dealt with Israel. What? Old Testament. That was how he dealt with Israel. He chose Abraham of Abraham's issue through the godly Isaac line. Now, that didn't make that line completely Christian. You look at the line. There was a lot of different things going on. But now, look, me and you, though. But now, out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he has purposed a new creation. He's the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of a man. Now, that was 2,000 years ago. Now his spirit is creating many sons unto himself. If he's the beginning of the creation of God, you and I are a continuation of that creation. Amen? He was God created in the form of a man. Now, by his spirit, he's creating many sons unto himself and daughters. God the Creator creating himself a part of his creation. Do you believe that? Say amen. I believe that. I believe that God's building something and the world has nothing. They don't know nothing about it. This is the true revelation of God. How many believe Brother Brown was a prophet? That God sent that prophet to speak to me. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. So let's listen to what he says. This is the true revelation of God. What? The Godhead. Headship. This was his purpose. This purpose, though, took form through election. Why? Remember, before the foundation of the world, God knew who would and who wouldn't. Right? But he had to send his son, as we'll read the scripture in a little while, he had to send his son to everybody, but he knew everybody wasn't going to accept it. Listen, everybody's a member of the family of God by creation, by birth, by sex birth. Because God gave you the life. Devil can't give life. Is everybody okay with that? But then by the power of transformation. Oh, I love that. The power of transformation, he takes that same you. Burns all that old nature out and then puts himself in there. The Creator creating himself a part of creation. That's why he could look down to the last age. Where? Are we not in the last age? Don't get me wrong, I know. We're raptured out of the age, but we're still in Laodicea. Most of you drove a Laodicean car, live in a Laodicean house, and go to a Laodicean job. But we don't have to be of it. Like I said before, if you act different, if whatever's inside of you acts different than the world will notice it. Amen? Amen? That is why he could look right down to the last age when all would be over and see himself still in the midst of the church as author of this new creation of God. His sovereign power brought it to pass. By his own decree, he elected the members of this new creation. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Amen. Let us make man in our own image. And after our own likeness. That wasn't every man, folks. That was the bride. That was himself. A special designation of himself. He predestinated them to the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of his will. What's his will? His will is his word. But don't worry. Don't act strange. You already act strange. You think strange. You say strange things to people. Remember, they always said, oh, you say words that's hard to understand. Well, it's just the same words that we speak. It's just the Holy Ghost power behind that word. That's what I want. That's why I want everybody to get the Holy Ghost. Very important that everybody get the new birth. Not just a sensation, not just a feeling, not just go down a prayer line and say, I feel better. Where's the life after that? The life is in the name that you took on. That's why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take on the name of the bridegroom. Amen. You walk down the aisle, sisters, what do? You throw your name out. Because you're no more the son of who and who. You're the wife of whoever you're marrying. So you what? You die. And for us to die, we can't have no other husbands living or we can't get married. Right? Same way with God. We can't get married if we have another husband, which is the devil. You were married to him the first by what? Adulterous act of Eve to begin it. And then it wasn't an adulterous act that got you here. You understand what I mean? I don't want to be so hard, but we didn't come the way we're supposed to. So it was all wrong. But we came this way to make it right. Oh, what God can take. He can take just the sourest thing and the worst looking thing, a Rahab. He can take a Ruth. He can take, look what he took and made something out of it. Woman at the well. Why is he's got these prostitutes around him. The woman that threw down in front of him. This woman we caught in adultery. He said, I didn't see it. Thank God. Cause I was thrown down in front of that man one time. In the act of adultery. What? Living an adulterous life. And you say, well, committing adultery? No, anything against God is adulterous. Anything, because you're doing, you what? You have a wife, and you have a husband and another husband. Remember that she told a woman at the well, what's your problem? She said, well, you know, we know this. He said, you're right. So you got about five of them hanging around somewhere, and said, you're number six you're living with. All she needed was number seven standing in front of her. And when she accepted number seven, which was the real one, she ran into the city and said, oh, come see a man. You ever do that when you got born again? I was thinking back, you know, in your experience. Were you ever like that woman? Because that woman types you. That woman at the well. We know that when Messiah comes, he'll do these things. That's what you did one night or one day or wherever you were. You say, oh, God, I've been living wrong. And you come before Jesus and he tells you what? The thoughts and intents of your heart. He doesn't have to do it through a preacher. He can do it through your brain. And tell you how rotten you are. And how filthy you are. But did you ever, when God said, in other words, what did he tell that little woman they threw down in front? He said, go and sin no more. In other words, I didn't see you do it. That's what he told the woman at the well. Woman at the well, run in the city. How many of us run in the city? How many of us run into the community and run into the thing and said, I've been saved. You will if you get a real experience. Because she got a real experience. She didn't get the new birth. But she got something quickened in her heart that had been laying there. The word had been laying there long time. And when the word met the word, it quickened that word and she ran into the city. All right, let's go to the next one. Sorry, took too long with that one. Providing his word, proving his word. So he, God, came down after going through this, and now every son that you eat and born of a natural sexual birth, the way you come, then when it comes to a place to where you go through water baptism, then Holy Ghost baptism. See, the water baptism will not save you. The Holy Ghost baptism will save you. Amen? But then the water baptism, what does it do? It says, I am giving up my prior life. I am telling the world that I'm going to die, buried, and resurrected in what? New creation. I didn't feel a thing. I just felt wet. Well, you might need to be baptized again. You know what I did? My story, I felt like I was the most empty person that ever been, like you just totally emptied me out, tingling all over. And then God started filling me up after that. Amen. Listen, folks, if you don't have an experience, you got to have an experience. You don't have to have a sensation every time, but you got to have an experience. The experience is something personal, though. I got mine somewhere. You got yours somewhere. But we all got it the same way. It was the word that we heard was quickened in our heart. And we said, that ain't nothing but the truth. And God honored that by burning the old me out and putting him inside. Now, that's the way you should see it. You don't have to say, well, I got it like you got it. No. I like to hear your experience. Brother Dale's always had you tell your experience. Because it may help somebody else. Because we see some people sitting in the pew and they never say a word. They never say amen. They might clap every once in a while. But that doesn't mean they don't have the Holy Ghost. And then you see the other guy on the other side. He's shouting and speaking in tongues. He could be the devil. Or she. Remember, well, Brother Brown run into that. But let's go and endure to the end. Those who endure to the end will be saved. Go back to your Matthew where the sower of the seed. There's many of those seeds were planted by the Son of Man. Only one group made it to maturity. One group. The first one didn't. Second one didn't. Third one didn't. Why? Because of the cares of life. One was like a house on the fire on a windy day. Well, I got to have it today, today, today. And then you don't ever see him again. Then you see that one that was planted in good ground. He's not a hot house plant. The wind blew and he put the roots down. Wind blows again, he puts his root down some more. Wind blows again, he puts his root down some more. And then he grows up. You don't have to prop up a good plant. Amen? So you don't have to prop up your experience. Plant a potato, plant a tater, get a tater. Amen? You don't go out there every day, though, and digging in the potato patch. You say, oh, I got... No, you leave it alone. Let it grow in your dirt. Water baptism, then Holy Ghost baptism. Then the Holy Ghost comes down at the fire baptism and claims this creation. Now, watch right here. Stop right here just for a second. Scroll it back down. Back up. There you go. Right there. Hold on. Now, look. What Brother Ram's saying. Now, watch. You're going through water baptism. This just struck me, so somebody may need this. Then Holy Ghost baptism. Then the Holy Ghost comes down. Wait a minute, brother. Wait, that you just got all the Holy Ghost running everywhere. No. You get baptized. Justification. This is also justification. If it's true justification, it's the Holy Ghost that justifies you. Sanctification, it's the Holy Ghost that gives you sanctification. But that's not the new birth. That's not the new birth. No, you can quit smoking, drinking, cussing, doing all the things. And that's just good. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he walks in dry places, seeks rest, findeth none, comes back, founds a house swept and garnished. And he just walks right in that door and makes you a clean sinner. But when the Holy Ghost comes down at the fire baptism and claims, listen, you're not claimed. You're not really in, you're not in the, excuse me, you're not in the family of God until you are born again right here. Cause this is only potential. Sanctification will not get you a bride ticket. That's foolish virgin. Everybody okay with that? But people are taught that, though. You believe the message, you shout, you speak in tongues, you go to these meetings that they hoop and holler. Well, that's okay. But what do you do afterwards? What do you do when Satan tempts you? What do you do when the same devil that went out of you comes back and says, I think I'll trick you a little bit today. I'm going to make you feel religious. But when God comes down with a Holy Ghost fire baptism, let me tell you something. He cleans you out and makes you a new creation. A new creature in Christ Jesus. All right, see, it comes down. Look, it even claims the same as it did to him. The Holy Ghost and God is the same spirit. See, it comes down and claims this body for the resurrection. Remember on the River Jordan, what happened with Jesus? He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Now listen, Jesus didn't need the Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Ghost in him. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But you and I are not. But in type, he saw the Spirit coming like a dove down and ascending on you and said, this is my beloved Son whom I'm pleased to dwell. And then Brother Branham continues on, and we don't have the quote we read it the other day, in the future home where Brother Branham says, in other words, this body I've created. And from this body, I'm going to claim your bodies. Because listen, you're not a complete human being without your body. You're not going to be a complete bride without your natural body. You gotta, that's the thing that's bothering us though, is these natural bodies. That's what's breaking down. That's what we're leaning toward. Sorry. Until we receive, continue to receive, and we'll talk about maybe this afternoon a little bit, when we come to a place with these virtues working in our life, our name is as good as a check on a checkbook. Not that God writes the check. That's at your new birth. That's at your baby form. He'll write a check and say, healing. I already wrote my name on it. Here you go. No, but when we come to a place where the prophet of God can stand and say, I see you've got a tumor in your stomach. Dr. So-and-so is one that said you were inoperable and you've only got 3 months to live. And he says, now it's gone. That was not intelligence of man. That was the intelligence of God. That was God showing, because listen, sure he spoke through Brother Branham, but watch when Brother Branham, and we'll get to this a little bit later, but I want you to think of this. You watch and you listen to tapes. From 47 to 63, pretty much every tape, he's going, you know what I'm doing, I'm waiting on him. You know what I'm doing, I'm waiting on him. But now after those seals broke, you watch the prayer lines and you watch the discernment. He just starts discerning. Why? God has adopted his son. And whatever Brother Brown said, that's what happened. Remember, Sister Hattie Wright? Whatever you say, he put it in her hands. But he said, whatever you say, I'll give it to you. I want my children. My grandchildren. Be it unto me according to thy word. I'm right here. It comes down and claims this body. Because listen, folks, we don't believe in replacement. We believe resurrection is resurrecting that same body you're living in a glorified condition. Now that's, did Jesus leave a part of him in the tomb? Oh, he resurrected his body, right? His natural human body, but it was changed. Don't forget this word new means a lot of different things, because remember Brother Brown said a new heaven and a new earth. What did he say about new heaven and new earth? He said God's not going to destroy the earth like man thinks. Man thinks God's just going to blow this away and we're going to just go to heaven, wherever that is. John saw the city coming down. All it took was Brother Branham to realize, he said, that city's coming down on the earth. Future home is going to be on the earth. Heaven is going to be on this earth. It's not going to be done away with, but what? The fiery baptism is going to what? Cleanse this earth. And then we're just going to step right back down on the earth and live for an eternity. Thank God we don't have to go anywhere or build any houses. It's already built for us. Everything's already done. But all this is done in three stages. We can't just say, we got the Holy Ghost and I'm waiting on my body change. Can't say that. You can't say I've started first grade, now I want to graduate college. There's a time. There's a time in there that you got to... What does the Bible say? The Bible says we can understand the Godhead by the things that we see. Is that right? Everybody makes it so complicated about adoption and about growing and about statue of perfect man. It's no more. And I don't make that... When you say no more... It kind of belittles it, but it's no more than you growing your own natural life. You start as a baby. You got everything you need to drive a car with. Oh, all these 15-year-old kids. But you don't take that baby, and we'll get into it in Romans. You receive the spirit of adoption, the baby. Crying, Father, Father, I have my Father. But when those two little twins were one of them on Terrence's shoulder and one on the other shoulder, Kaylee and Zoe, he used to give them candy, but he never gave him his car keys. He never gave them his car keys. Why? He knew that'd be a disaster. Same way with God. He's given you the new birth. He knows if he gives you all this power and authority, that being a human being, you're not going to use it right. Give a 5-year-old a set of keys and put it in a car for him. Disaster. But now you're 15. And you're going to get your permit, right? You too. You don't get your permit? Your mom and daddy can't ride you around all over the place. And don't be Ubering, okay? You need to learn how to drive. But you have the capability, according to the law, though. According to the law, the capability of a kid driving is 15. I wish it was 20. And the 15s don't... No, no, no! But what do? They come to a point where man, the law, gives them authority to get a learner's permit. Because in the matter of time, man has said, okay, they're 15. They can take this so much. All right? They can't give them just you're 15 here. Here's your permit. Drive to California. They know better. So God knows the same thing. God knows better. He knows what you want and what you need. He knows if he gives you something at this point in your life, you're going to really mess it up. That's why I've always said God's no's are the best yeses you'll ever get. When God says no, he knows what you're going to do, being omnipotent. Knowing all things, he knows if he gives you this, you're going to be a disaster right here. But if you wait on God, if he gives you the authority, then he's going to see it to the end. And that's the way you and I, in all the decisions that we make, we need to make those decisions according to our new birth. Even natural things, folks. Listen to God. All right, let's go to the next one. We're the continuation of the creation. Let's go to Matthew 3:16 real quick. We're looking at the three stages of adoption. We'll look at it in just a second. All right, he saw the Spirit descending like a dove. That's what we were talking about. And lighting on him. And a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's what God said at your new birth. Amen. Listen, do you really believe that? Amen. But see, the very next day, Satan says, no, you didn't get what you think you got. No, you didn't get this. No, you didn't get that. Right? Oh, I'm sorry. He left y'all alone and all told me that. No, he'll start on you just as soon as you get born again. He'll tell you you didn't get it. All right? Well, he's a liar. But God is pleased to dwell in you for some reason. Like we were talking about last Sunday, there's some reason y'all don't like me. I don't know what. But listen, if I preach the word to you, it really shouldn't matter if you like me or not. I mean, I like to go hunting. Bob don't. That make Bob a bad person? Or to make me a bad person? Nope. It's just little earthly things that we can't get over sometimes. A low voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You know, I was listening to Brother Brown the other day, or reading it, where he said he had complexes. A prophet? A prophet of God. That live so close to God, sometimes you have to pinch yourself to see if he was in this dimension or another dimension. And he had complexes. He thought people didn't like him. He thought all this. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Remember the angel told him, said, you just do. In other words, the angel would tell me, listen, I told you what to do to begin with. I'm an angel sent from God. And look, even Mary, you take Mary as a type of us. The angel comes and says, Mary, you've been highly favored of God. And you're going to have a child. What's her first thing? Intellectual knowledge said, how can I have this baby not knowing a man? And see, that's our problem. We go to reasoning these things. But then what did Gabriel do? Preached her a little sermon. And said, is there anything too hard for God? She said, be it unto me according to thy word. Is that what we're supposed to do? That's exactly what we're supposed to do. All right, let's go now to Matthew 17. We know this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The next ministry is Matthew 17:5. And he added this part in and says, hear ye him. And we'll read some quotes this afternoon that I don't have in this one. But he's come to a place that God has took him out on a mountain, set him out apart, and said, now you got to hear this guy. Now, wasn't supposed to hear him 47 to 63. Everybody getting what I'm saying? Amen. And now from 63 to 65, this is all you got to listen to. No. You have got to have all that background. All that background before you can come to a place, but because I want you to watch something right here. And I know we said, and they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them saying, tell this vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Excuse me. Until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. And his disciples said, why then the disciples say Elias must first come? Jesus said, well, Elias is going to come and restore all things. We know that was a ministry of Brother Branham, but he did two things. There was two things he did. Number one, he restored all things. He restored water baptism, no eternal hell, all the doctrines that for 2,000 years God winked at the ignorance of man, Christian men and women, because it wasn't their time for the head to come. It wasn't the time for the headship to come. But he had to send a prophet just like he sent, look, Old Testament, produce something for God. They're good people. Godly prophets. But when John the Baptist, the third coming of Elijah, stepped on earth, he didn't introduce that. He rebuked every bit of that. Called them snakes in the grass. Called them vipers. Wasn't very nice to them. We say that in a sermon now. Half of you won't come back to it. Well, half of you won't come back to that anyway. So, but then John, what was his job? To introduce the head. Introduce the man, Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Then what does John do? John goes off the scene. Because he's not part of the New Testament. The testator hadn't died yet. John goes off the scene. He gets beheaded for what he believes. Marriage and divorce. So he gets beheaded. Then here Christ is on the scene. Then we see now just what happened in the Old Testament. They start living by their traditions. And even live by the commandments. Look at the rich young ruler, he said, what can I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, do all the commandments. He said, I've done them from a kid. How many of us can say that? None. He said that. He said, I've done those from the time that I was a child till today. Jesus said, you lack one thing. Preeminence. Sell all you got and follow me. He couldn't do that. There was a piece still left. Down through the Old Testament, there were pieces still left. Down even through the church ages, there was pieces still left. Because man took this idea of three gods. Baptism and Father, Son, Holy Ghost. All these little pieces that God, he winked at their ignorance because, look, man was moving. The Holy Spirit was moving through one of the seven stars. And they would bring a message, and that's it. They would bring a message, and that's it. The just shall live by faith. It doesn't matter if Luther went to a pub and drank beer and smoked a pipe. Listen, he was German. They drank beer all the time. But he didn't see that that was the importance at the time. Everybody with me? He didn't believe that was important, right? God kept the just shall live by faith. You get those people out of that Catholic church. You get those people to quit believing that novenas and you had to do the Hail Marys and you had to drag yourself across the cobblestones. You remember the movie Luther, Martin Luther? Remember he did that. He'd lay out on those stones and he'd just lay there until he'd just fall asleep. Trying to do penance. That wasn't the issue at that time. I mean, it was that issue, but now when Martin Luther passed on, John Wesley comes on and he says, now look, you can't go in that pub. I know my brother Luther did, but that's not for you today. This is not for you. You can't go in that pub because we want to live a clean life to where people can see. Then I don't go to the beer joint. That I don't go buy cigarettes or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? So that was Wesley's message. Then we'll read it in just a little bit where Brother Brown said, that's where Pentecost fell though. They come under a new message. The Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, the true Holy Ghost, to restore the gifts back. But then what did they do? They said, all right, this is it. Man, we've come, the rapture's going to take place here in just a few minutes. We've got all these shoutings and speaking in tongues and people prophesying all over the building. But they were not. They were still babies. Babbling, Pentecostal babies because they said, this is it. No, Brother Branham said this was it plus. So Brother Branham comes on the scene between the 6 and 7. What does he do? Restores all things, but he had another job to do. He was like John. He had to introduce the head. Sure, he restored all things. That was his first part. He got everything restored to 1963 that he knew possible, that he could. Then God says, if you're going to hear it, you're going to hear it from this guy right here. I've got it in all these other brothers. He didn't ever deny all the other brothers, the Allens and even the people that went off. But he thought highly of A. Allen. He thought highly of Bosworth and all these different ones. But they were still Trinitarians. Billy Graham was a Trinitarian. Oral Roberts was too, as far as I know. But see, they weren't there to restore. They were there to save people. The two going to Sodom to save those people, save as many as they can. But then you come to the prophet of God, who's the fourth coming of Elijah. And what's his job? Introduce the head. Because the headship had been rejected down through the church ages. There was nothing there, not the fullness of God. Let's listen to this real quick. Matthew 24. Now watch. This is Jesus' life, and this has got to be the life. Listen, if this is the life the Son of Man live, it's got to be the life that me and you live. Amen? So here's the order. You must be born again. God's pleased to dwell. Please, everybody, find out you are or you're not born again. If you're not, then we'll pray for you till you get it. Then what do? We become obedient children. Try to be, some of us. Then God comes to a place to where he says, hear ye him. Not just he's pleased to dwell in you, but he wants to adopt you and give you something. Okay, now he gave you the Holy Ghost, which is one of the greatest things you could ever get. But he wants to give you more. I mean, we just had a niece born last night, or day before yesterday. Cambry, Terrence was telling you about it. Now, she's a baby. Beautiful child, but God forbid if they don't let it grow up. You got to grow up. Feed it. Nurture it. What? Teach it. Train it. To become a proper child. That's what we're going to read here in just a minute. Hear ye him to adoption. And then, according, the prophet of God says, according to Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, and Revelation 10:7, this prophet is supposed to do the second part. Preach the seals and restore us back to what? True fellowship with God. Just restore us back to look. This is the way I want to say it, and I want you to hear it this way. No restrictions between me and God. No restrictions between you and God. No way that you're going to come into a service and go, well, I sure wished I had the Holy Ghost. No, you got to figure it out. But then you got to use it. You're not born again just because you come to church. You're born again when you stay in church. All right, let's go to number 4 real quick. Court of Visions, Bendale, North Carolina. Let's read this. There's been enough light to know you ought to do right. And this is what I was talking about just now. This is the Luthers, the Wesleys, and all the different ones. To know you ought to do right and wrong. There's been enough light to know that you believed on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Accept him as your personal savior. Put your name on the church book and live the good life. But as far as signs and wonders in the direct rays of the sun shining, it hasn't been since Pentecost. All right, now let me read you this one. We quote this all the time. I'm going to read it to you. This is out of Questions and Answers on the Seals, where Brother Brown tells the people, you're not getting it. They were down there in the body somewhere. Not doing away with them. He didn't call them non-Christians. Listen. Now this is on the Questions and Answers on the Seals. He's preached 6 seals. He's going to preach the 7th seal this night. Then also knowing that right among you things are happening. And I want us to wake up one time. But I want us to realize this is not 1963. This is now. I don't want you to be a part of this group. Because he saw another group coming. Things are happening, see. That I know you that you don't see it. Now when he said that, That didn't do away with their Christianity, because watch him. See, I'm just positive that you don't see it. See, and you say, Brother Brown, that's a hard thing for you to say that. I know it is, but look, let me just say this now. I suppose this is just tape for ourselves. No, Brother Branham, it's gone around the world millions of times. This is for us to hear. But let me say this, that you don't get it. And you're not supposed to get it. Greatest 6 days of services he's ever had, preaching in the greatest anointing of the seals. Some man had never preached it until Jesus was on the earth, preached the seals, and now a man is standing on the earth preaching about the Son of Man, and they're not getting it. But he didn't de-Christianize them. He said, no, watch. Suppose this just take for ourselves, so forth. But let me say this, that you don't get it. Now, that's the third time he said that. You don't get it, and you're not supposed to get it. Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet? We haven't lost that yet, have we? Okay. All right. So I believe what he said. He said, say what I say on tape. This is on tape. And you're not supposed to get it, so don't try to interpret anything. Don't try to put your interpretation to it. You only get further away. Just take my advice. If you believe me now, if God has given me favor in your sight, you know that them revelations and things, I've been here with you a long time. What? 47 to 63. I've been here with you in the desert. I've been here with you in your growth development. All right. And now I see that you can only grow to a certain spot and you stop. Because he had a whole lot of Pentecostals in that group that were not born again. They were just not growing on with God. I've been here with you a long time and it's always been right. And now to double prove it right, it hooks right into the word. So you know it's thus saith the Lord. That's exactly, see, it's proved to you. Now take my advice as your brother, don't put your own interpretation to anything. Well, that didn't happen. As soon as he passed away, they started putting their own interpretation. That's what they're still doing now. Those adversaries in Ezra, those adversaries have come in and said, we want to help you build this. Right. Well, listen to my thunder revelation, or listen to my terminology of this and that and the other. Listen to my seed doctrine. Listen to what I got to say. Me. But what he say, look, you just go on and live a good Christian life. He didn't de-Christianize none of them. Because you'll only wind yourself away from the real thing when you do it. Remember the quote one time, Brother Branham said there were scrap heaps of ministers that had went out past what they were supposed to know and tried to interpret and all these other things, and they're laying on the side of the road. What? Train wreck. Wreck. Car wreck. That's why that we've been moving steadily on for the years. We've been moving on. Brother Dale hadn't had none of these wild ideas. Something he's ever had to back up on. Yeah. Give God praise for that. You'll only wind your way again away from the thing. And all of you are conscious and know that there's something happening. So they knew something was going on. Am I hurting your ears, Thomas? Okay. They knew there was something going on. Something mysterious. And it's happening, and I know what it is. You know what I think he knew what it was? It wasn't for them. There was a group coming. Remember he started talking about the crystal? He said it's got to have the right crystal to play that music. Got to have the right crystal on the radio to turn it to that station. He said the right crystal, in other words, was not there yet. And now I'm not saying that it's the grace of God that lets me know what it is. It's something that's tremendous, and it's gone right now, and there's not a way in the world for you to see it. Now, that was 1963. He continued to preach another 3 years. But so help me with this Bible in my hand. I know what it is. Next. He knew the headstone had been rejected. Sure, he may have thought it down through the times of him preaching, but he stood there on those seals and he knew that the headstone had been rejected. He knew that by a prophetic utterance he had prophesied 2 years before, he said, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In other words, they crucified the Son of Man. They didn't kill the Son of God. They crucified the Son of Man. But then when he knew, though, he's like, oh, God, I got him out on a limb. What am I going to do? I got this. I got everything, all this statue of perfect man, spoken words, original seed. Take these little quotes. Lord, I got him on a limb. What am I going to do? Tell them as of yet Malachi 4 has not been fulfilled. Listen, all Malachi 4:5 has not been fulfilled. Till we get our body changed, God's going to destroy this earth with fire. Ain't that what Malachi 4 says? Before the Lord destroys the earth with a curse? It's holding off for me and you to fulfill that part. The stone that the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. The prophet of God knew. And then he continues on about Zerubbabel. We'll not read that. Just continue on. Go to Ephesians 4 verse 11. We won't read that one. How did he do it? He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers and tape players. Oh, I don't say that, does it? Oh, okay. It said people. Live people. For the perfecting of what? Us. Put your name in there for the perfecting of Samuel Waddell II. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. That's not happening. They're scattering like flies now. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more, what? Children, tossed to and fro. And we see as we grow up, we we hear this great thing going on in the message, or we hear this doctrine that somebody's preaching, and it's new, and everybody likes something new. You bring a new car and drive a new car up on our parking lot, everybody goes, But when I drive, you know, when I drive my 12-year-old car up in the parking lot, it's got little scratches in it, a few dents on it, they're like, well, by the way. But if it's a 2022 Chevrolet Silverado, everybody be going, oh, look. When Lauren drove up with him, everybody went out there, didn't they? He's smiling because we did. Went out there, oh, man, look at that. And everybody goes, I got to see this truck. Why, it was new. It was something new. It's going to break down just like the rest of them if you give it time. Sorry, Chevrolet. Same way with us. Till we all come in the unity of faith of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. Tossed to and fro. It's time for us not to be tossed to and fro. It's time for us to raise up. Come up from children. Don't let every little thing bother you. Watch. But look, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about from church to church to church with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, look, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Even Brother Brown stood there one day and he said, I must decrease that he might increase. Now listen, his job wasn't to introduce the flesh man, son of man. Everybody got me? John the Baptist was to introduce the man. All right. But now Brother Brown was to introduce that risen again part in the people. In me and you, but then when he preached his heart out that whole week, he said, man, they ought to be getting this. They ought to be, they ought to be coming and making comments and they ought to be asking me questions. And they asked him about pantyhose. Should a woman wear pantyhose? Somebody asked him about, what about this Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism? You know what he did? He didn't say, well, you bunch of idiots. No, he answered every one of them. That's why God had that man where he's at. Because he had come to a position that he would just answer those questions. But he knew though that none of those questions, hardly only like two questions, had to do with the seal. So they weren't getting it. It was blocked off. They were just not getting it. It was not the time for them to get it. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. That's why we have apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, deacons, elders, wisdom, nine spiritual gifts. We always get down to the bottom two. Tongues and interpretation, there's six or seven more on above that. The gift of wisdom. The gift of faith. We see those gifts working in your life. You may not have the gift of wisdom, but you may have the gift of faith. Because you see something happen in their life. Amen? All right, let's go to the... We can skip this if you want to continue on. We're talking about Zerubbabel. See, that's the problem. We've had adversaries come into the message and say, well, we'll preach the message, but we want to preach what we want to preach. We want to preach our revelation. There were adversaries. Listen, Judah and Benjamin, if you continue to read it, which we did the other day, they said, we don't want you here. You're bringing another God. You're bringing some Gentile dispensation when it wasn't ready. God didn't deal with the Gentiles in the Old Testament. Not until Christ died did he start dealing with the Gentiles, and he quit dealing with the Jews. Why? Dispensation. Now the dispensation of the Gentiles is over. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to go back to the Jews. But there's adversaries that tries to help us build this temple. This temple. Not the brick and mortar temple, this temple. But what did the people do? They said, no, we're going to build it for our God. Even if we have to put a trowel in one hand and a sword in this hand. If you come up, we're going to kill you. That's how bold they were. And listen, folks, I was reading this morning. You remember they built that wall of Jerusalem was built in less than 50-something days, 55 days. The whole wall. And if you look in the pictures, you see that wailing wall, how big those stones are. That was just part of it. It went around the whole city. You know why? Because they had a purpose. And the adversary knew if they got that temple built back, God was going to come to that temple and they were going to destroy them. So that's the same thing with Satan. What's he trying to do? He's not trying to destroy the Baptist and Methodist Pentecostals. He's trying to destroy me and you. Bring divisions among us. Bring doctrines among us and all these different things. He's trying to destroy the message of the hour. And he's doing a pretty good job of it. But he's not going to ever deceive the bride. Promise. Let's read this one. We'll quit right here. Let's go to Galatians 3:18. We stopped on this other night. We'll stop on it here again. Go all the way. You're going to have to scroll it all the way to Galatians 3, just a few minutes. Galatians 3:18. You should be able to scroll it down past 2 Peter. Pillar of fire, number 7. After quote number seven, it says Galatians 3:18. There you go. All right, let's break this down just for a minute and then we'll close. For the inheritance be of the law. This is Paul speaking of Israel. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promised. Cause you got a law. Right? But God gave it to Abraham by promise. In other words, God said, you can't live the law. I'm going to do it. Now, what did he do? He came to Abraham in human flesh. Abraham had all these problems down through his life. But when he met Melchizedek, when he met the prefigure of the Son of Man, what happened? He said, you're going to have a child, and it's going to be by Sarah. What was he doing? Restoring it. It wasn't no question anymore. See, there was a question because Sarah said, I've been with him since 16 years old. See, she's reasoning. I've been with him since 16 years old. We've been married. So we can't have children. See, here's Hagar. Here's Hagar. You take Hagar. You know what God said though? I was reading it yesterday. God said, you do what your wife said. Have you ever read that in the Bible? God said, you do what your wife said. Right? God didn't rebuke him. He said, you do, because you know why? He needed a rebel. He needed an Ishmael to fulfill all the promise that he knew was going to come to pass later on. But he gave God to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. What? Do's and don'ts. Right? Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now look, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now listen to this. Let's go down to verse 23, save time, real quick. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Now here's your journey. This is Paul laying your journey out. Every one of our journey, you can't go any other way. All right? But before faith came, in other words, while you were out in the world, what kept you? What condemned you? Not just the laws of the land. The laws of God kept. If you smoked, drank, cussed, was mad or bad to your mom and daddy, if you killed somebody, committed adultery, I'm going through the Ten Commandments if y'all don't know what I'm doing. That was all of us. We were under that law, and that law condemned us. If we did them, we were punished, right? So we were kept under the law. In other words, shut up. Satan had shut us up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So you didn't have this little thing inside of you that you were special. No, you were dead. But God in his mind had a seed word planted that when he would give you that faith, it would be revealed to you. And you'd receive the new birth. To me, that's just so simple. Mary wasn't born with anything, a seed in her. Was she had to receive seed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. Now watch. Schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now that's not your new birth. Be careful. Justification and sanctification is not your new birth. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But, after that faith has come, there's your new birth. After the faith has come, after you've went through the two, justification and sanctification, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, after that faith has come, look, watch, after that faith has come, as Bob was showing us this morning, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost just puts you in the body. But you must go through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost again. We are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now hold on to that word, schoolmaster. For we are all the children. Didn't say adults. We are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For we all are one in Christ Jesus. In other words, we all make the body. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's promise. Not natural seed. Abraham's natural seed is not anything. What? Not to seeds as of many, but to thy seed, which is Christ. It was a prefigure. It was showing that he was going to give Abraham a son by promise, not by law. If ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now listen, this is a continuation. Just go to the next one. Because this is Galatians 4:1. It just continues from Galatians 3:4-1. Now look, he continues his thought. Paul's talking. He says, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, different nothing from a servant. That's your true test, folks. I've got the new birth. I'm above them all. I think that says you've got the new birth and you're the same as the other person. The only difference in you and a drunk person is you got the new birth and he don't. But he's still a human being. He's still somebody that we need to say, well, you're a human being, and pray for those people. Though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors. Now, listen, we were under a schoolmaster. School, grammar, school. And I know there's a few tutors and governors are appointed people, but mostly when you get in college, you need a remedial course and you have a teacher or a tutor. So the schoolmaster is to bring you to Christ, and then the schoolmaster's job is not over. He just steps over and becomes a tutor. Why? He's going to tell you something more than the schoolmaster did. The schoolmaster brought you to Christ. Everybody with me? The schoolmaster brought you to Christ, and then he's going to step over and be your tutor and your governor until the time appointed of the Father. Everybody with me? Say amen. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Fivefold ministry, statue of perfect man. You can't get anywhere without those two. Even so we, when we were children, We were in bondage under the elements of the world. Even though you're born again, you still got that little devil sitting on this side of your shoulder, that memory, reason, conscious affection, imagination that is not born again, that's still with your natural birth and your carnality and what you think in your mind. I wish we'd get our mind baptized by the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's where my problem is. I don't know about you. But when the fullness of the time was come, now. You say, oh no, that's when God sent forth Jesus Christ. That's us. Dual meaning, right? I got myself wrote right here. Dual meaning. Dual meaning. When the fullness of time was come, what? The last church age. The last church age is here. And we had a prophet come. Tutor and a governor spoke through him. He wasn't the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost spoke through him. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, what? Son of man, on the earth, made of a woman, made under the law. Now Jesus did come under the law, and you come under the law. I just read you that. To redeem them that were under the law, in other words, bring them back, that what? We might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying, Daddy, Daddy, crying. You're still a baby. But watch what happens in this one scripture, and then we'll read the rest in Romans later on. Musicians come. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So whatever he gets, that's what you get. And you know what? There's not a lot written about Jesus until he went to the River Jordan. A couple of instances when he was a kid and an instant when he was 13 years old. There was a little things about his life. You know what? But the Bible said he grew in grace and knowledge and favor with man and God. That's why he said it pleased me. God said it pleased me to live in that body. And when you got the new birth, he said, I'm pleased to live in that body. Now let's go to work. And we'll read it this afternoon, though. Some people say, no, that's enough. I don't want no more of that. Like Brother Bob was talking, I can't understand the seals. Well, you're not going to get a body change then. This is not an automatic process. You got to go through stages. You didn't automatically go from a baby to an adult. You didn't automatically go from adult to a father. You didn't go from a father to a grandfather by mistake or just by jumping. You come through life. Let's stand to our feet. You got to come through life in this gospel. And I'm going to say it one more time. I'm going to keep saying it. If God put it in the Bible. Now there's. Luther may not have been able to say this, Brother Bob. But you and I can say, we've had this book open to us. And every promise we can understand because God sent us a prophet to help us understand. See, that's our mandate. Our mandate is not just to just I live by faith. It's this whole Bible, open book, from cover to cover, so that we can produce the Son of Man again. We'll talk about this afternoon. We got to produce that Son of Man. That Son of Man is just not going to appear. Listen, we're going to read it this afternoon in Acts 1. When they said, oh, this Jesus you see go up, what, he sent in the cloud, he'd come back the same way. But we know that to us, that's that. Yes. To us. He ascended in a cloud to us in 1963 and give us a message. But you know what also the Bible says? Everybody will see him coming in a cloud. That's the judge, though. That's not bringing mercy through a prophet. That's judgment. When he comes in the clouds of glory and all this that we read, that the scroll, you know, the sky roll back like a scroll and he'll walk down and put his foot on the earth, that's a judgment. He's coming to judge. He's not coming to save. When he descended in that cloud right there, though, that was Zerubbabel crying, grace, grace unto it. Me and you, built on grace. God bless you. Sing a song before we dismiss.
Sing that chorus. Make me more like thee. Oh, make me more like thee, Jesus,
man. Is that your desire today?
More.
like thee. Oh, and give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more. That's your desire. Let's lift our hands. Lord, please. Oh, just make me more like thee. Jesus, make. That's your desire. He'll do it if you'll ask him. Like thee, oh, give me a heart that fills with love and make me more. Now, after that, this is what he's going to do. You ask him, oh, live your life through me. To him. Oh, and give me a heart that's filled with love, and live your life through me. Let's sing it one more time as we're dismissed. Oh, and live your life through me. Yes, ma'am.
A heart
okay.
With love.
Okay.
And
she needs this faculty, Lord, to use, Lord, for everyday life. Now, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you'll come down and create a miracle in our sister, Lord, and that you'll bind the devil that's trying to take this away from her, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. You go back and you see. If you can't see, you see tomorrow. If you can't see the next day, you see the next day. Amen.
Only your life through me.
You love him?
Holy
Lord Jesus, live your life through us.
Your life,
your dismissed
through me. And give me a heart that give me your heart.